Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the hosts or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hey guys, Destiny Fox here. So you guys park your paranormal fascination right here and let's enjoy some paranormal talk. How are you doing, Michael?
I am doing great tonight. I can't wait for this night's show to get started so we could start talking about the paranormal. We've got a really interesting topic tonight, Destiny.
Well, I know. And I was reading up on some stuff about the differences. We'll talk about the name of the show later, because I don't remember right now at the minute. But we've got Jessica King with us. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Destiny. How are you?
I'm good. We took Jessica on the team just, what, 2 or 3 months ago. We actually met her on an investigation that we were co-investigating, so to speak. And Jessica still runs her own team in her area. Plus, she's a member of Fox Paranormal. And people are probably thinking right now, how can you be on two different teams? It's working. Is it working good, Jessica?
Yeah, well, the distance between our areas is so far that we don't really end up stepping on each other for investigations that way. Plus, I do mostly like historical sites out here. I do very few home investigations with my team nowadays.
Speaking of investigations, we've got one next Friday night. I am looking so forward to spending the evening with you guys. We have Jessica going to join us. Michael Fox will be there, my handsome husband. I will be there. Youngblood Britt will be there. Kobe Daniel will be there. We've invited Stan and Teresa Fikes to stop in. They'll be stopping in for a little while during the evening. We also have invited Blaine Rohan to come. I'm excited. It's a private investigation, and it's going to be unique. We plan on spending the night at Pauley Jail.
Exciting.
Inside a haunted jail. All night long. I look so forward to this. It's going to be cool and amazing. Kobe, it's good to have you on tonight.
Good to be here. How are y'all doing?
We're doing okay. Kobe had to miss out last week because he was at work and getting a little loud in there. So he had to just check on out of the chat with us. But Kobe is one of our team managers now. He got promoted not long ago.
Well deserved, too.
Yes, yes. He works so hard on our investigations. As soon as he gets over here, we usually meet at my house and take off to investigate. As soon as he gets here, it's like, what do you need me to load up? What do you need me to do? And he will get right on it. When we're at an investigation, he's on his toes. He's looking out after all of us, looking out after himself. Willing and going over and beyond what's required a team member for Fox Paranormal. And Kobe, we're proud of you.
Thank y'all so much.
So we're going to be talking about tonight the difference between a paranormal investigation, dealing with ghosts, or is it some other kind of spirit? Is it demonic? How do you know the difference when you're investigating? We're going to start off with Jessica because she's a seasoned investigator. When you go into an investigation, I know you don't know what's there until you get there. All you have are your client's claims. But when you go into an investigation, is there a method that you do to determine, okay, is this a spirit, a negative spirit? Is this demonic? Is this a human spirit? What are the steps you go through to determine what kind of haunting you have going on in a residence or one of your historical places you go to?
Well, I mean, I typically begin with just a regular investigation because, in the beginnings of a demonic infestation, sometimes that behaves just like a regular haunting. And so it's not easy to tell unless you begin to investigate. But then again, sometimes you walk in and you feel it the minute you get there.
And exactly. The energy.
The energy in the air is charged with darkness. You can feel it. You can feel it descend upon you when you walk in.
I agree with that. You definitely could feel it, you know, a lot of times. But sometimes they mask themselves very well. And you have to use, you know, depend on your training and your experience to be able to determine which one is which.
Exactly.
Well, I do know that we did a case and you had to step back because it affected you physically. You ended up in the hospital because of this investigation. And so you asked us if we would go in, and we did. Do you know what the first thing that I, as soon as we got to the investigation, was the smell of the place?
The house smelled, but it wasn't a sulfur smell to me when I went there first. There was a smell, though. And it kind of reminded me of maybe like where your trash can needed emptied a week ago and nobody took it out. Kind of just a rotten garbage smell. I just assumed that they hadn't took the trash out because they hadn't been staying there a whole lot because of the activity in the house. They'd been staying at her parents' house. And so, yeah, I just kind of assumed that it was the trash. I continued with my investigation, and not long into my investigation when I got there, things started getting thrown at me down the hallway. And I was like, okay, this might be a little more than I realized. So I completed the investigation and I did a home blessing. And unfortunately, I had some help on that investigation that had misrepresented itself. And so I believe that it could have gone better than it did, the home blessing and the cleansing. Unfortunately, it calmed it down for a little while, and then it started to escalate again. And that's when I called you guys for help.
Right. And, you know, there's no guarantees when someone goes in your home. There's no 100% guarantee, hey, we can get rid of this. We did go in. The activity had picked back up. And sometimes during a house cleansing, it subsides for a while, and then it comes back. It's just like you've warded it off, just temporary. The thing that I noticed when we first went in was a strange smell, and that concerned me very much. I began to wonder, okay, is there a gas leak here? Is something going on? And it began to smell like sulfur. I'm not familiar with the smell, but then I started Googling, okay, what does it smell like? And then I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Even at that, I wasn't convinced it was demonic. We kept going through the home. We did our investigation. We had two team members with us. And during the investigation, things got a little crazy. I was pushed outside the door up against the wall. I sent When I realized it was negative, I sent all the team members in different directions. I'm like, you got to ground, you got to pray, you've got to get yourself ready for this, because I have a feeling it's going to be a doozy. And a doozy it was. Matter of fact, Kobe can give a little insight when things went bad. I mean, he was pushed up against a wall. Kobe, tell me about your experience that you had there.
I was coming out of a bedroom, and you were outside the door. Something passed through you and came to me, pushed me up against the wall. Ever since that experience, it changed me completely.
Absolutely. It's like that final straw that convinces you that it's real. Because Kobe came onto the team as a skink, which best kind of paranormal investigators there are. But at which point, at what point do you think it was that we decided that we were dealing with a demonic entity?
When we were in the room, all of us were in the back room together, is when things started really getting heated.
So that back room was the focus of where I was feeling the darkness when I got there. And that same black room is where the lady that went out with me that night got scratched on her back, and there were 3 scratches. I'm sorry, I think we might be having technical difficulties. Kirby, are you still there?
I'm here, but no.
Okay, I'm here. Okay. I had to send Michael out. We have guests in the yard just pulled up, so I sent him out to check them out. So there was a drawing on the wall. I don't remember what that was, but there was a Bible also in the residence, and there was what was the drawing on the wall?
It was a goat, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was. A pentagram had been under the bed, and then there was a Bible, some things written on it.
It was completely defaced. It was a Gideon's Bible. It was camouflage colored, like they hand out to the troops. Mm-hmm. And it was completely defaced. The only part of the Bible that remained was its cover. And the pages that attached to the cover and then attached to the front part of the actual book. So how the Bible gets in, its binding was still there. But the Bible itself was not. Like, there were no words of Jesus in red in that book. There was no book of Psalms or Proverbs or any of the New Testament that's supposed to be in one of those little Gideon Bibles. And on the pages are things written that you had to kind of decipher.
Right. So we went in, and everywhere the negative was, we put something positive. Like, we put an angel figurine where the drawing would have been on the wall. We put a St. Michael's card where the pentagram was. And then we had actually had a Bible that had been blessed by our pastor that we replaced where the other one might have been. So everything that was negative in this home, we replaced it with something positive. So, you know, and then it was just crazy. But we did go in open-minded, a regular investigation, and then you look for the signs to tell, okay, is this a human haunting? Is this a spirit haunting? whatever kind of haunting this is, there's a process you have to go through. And I do not like it when it goes the other way. Just give me a good old-fashioned haunting with grandmama in the rocking chair. You know, it's just grandma rocking at midnight. Everything's good.
That's like the haunting I have in my house. It's just grandma rocking at midnight.
Exactly.
She's humming to the baby. She shushes him. It's never anything scary. That's the kind of haunting I like. Give me evidence of that. Let me take an apparition of a little old lady, get a picture of that, and show everybody. But this demons. No thanks.
Right. Pretty much you're going in and to know the difference between the difference of energy that spirits put off. Like, we've gotten EVPs before that says, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And those are powerful words. It's a message. They want you to know they're still with their family, or they're still in the home that they owned.
You know, I've often wondered about the haunting in my house, because we don't investigate it. I will not allow anybody to try to get EVPs or play the spirit box. It's just not something we do. I'll turn the spirit box on for a second just to make sure the batteries are good before I pack it. Otherwise, we don't really play with our equipment in the house. And the reason for that is we've all been warned. When you start communicating with the things in your house, they don't like to stop. And when we try to warn clients about this, they don't listen. But, you know, I'm curious about the lady in my house, and half of mine, to get you guys to come out and just investigate my house one evening, because I'd rather you guys do it and tell me what's here than me do it and find out for myself.
Right. Well,
it's never a good idea to investigate your own house.
That's right.
Well, we had a little experience here the other night. We were talking about a client and the probability that they're dealing with a negative energy and a negative entity. And I don't know, it was just a weird feeling in the house after that. That's why I don't like talking about these things sometimes here at home. It's like they know this yesterday, and they were talking about how rare demonic possession really is. And I'm thinking, you don't live in Georgia. That seems
you know
to
why.
Happen a lot around here.
You know why it's like that down here? It all goes back to that battle with the fiddle, where he lost the fiddle when he come down to Georgia, and he let the imps out to get
That's
even.
That's it. Devil came down to Georgia.
Well, you know, over the years I've investigated, I've worked with the Catholic Church, especially out in the Midwest. And I tend to disagree with that statement that it's rare, because the Catholic Church and other organizations similar to theirs has been dealing with this thing for many, many years now. So it's out there, whether you realize it is or not, it's still out there.
You know, I've seen so much. There was, and Daddy's a pastor. You all know that. I've seen in his meetings before where he would go in, and he was basically an exorcist. He's cast out hundreds of spirits. I couldn't put a number on it if I tried. Not only here local, but meetings that he would have in the Bahamas, in a church that's close to us. He was called there one night because the majority of the people in the church had gotten possessed. Now, how in the world a church full of people got possessed is beyond me.
Let me tell you, my grandmother told me one time that the devil goes to church every Sunday. So I believe that the enemy watches us no matter where we are. And to take the people of God, you know how the demonic likes to mock the Trinity. Well, mm-hmm. How mocking is it to steal God's children?
Well, there were trash cans lining the altar. I mean, they were grabbing bags. I mean, because when somebody's being delivered, they're going to throw some junk up. And I don't know why, but they do. And trash cans were lined up on the altars, probably about 15 or 20. And I guarantee you there was a head in every trash can. People were crawling up the aisles like snakes. I saw human eyes looking out, and then they would roll back in their head. And then he's looking at me like, I need some help here. And I'm thinking, maybe it's not me.
Yeah.
I would push somebody up because when you see somebody's eyes roll back in their head and you see some snake eyes come out. I mean, I've been through some demonic trauma myself in my life. I've always looked at it like I have to protect myself when I'm in this environment, which is what led me to take a demonology course, because things that I went through, I didn't want to go through it again. And if I could help prevent somebody from this happening to, yeah, I wanted to be able to help people. And it is so different from just a regular paranormal investigation because it can turn so fast. I mean, you think you're there for a human spirit, maybe help them cross over or help them get a message out, whether it's to let the family know they're still there with them ever. And then you find out, okay, it's not grandma, it's not Uncle Roy. This is definitely something that, you know, that has to be dealt with. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were saying, you don't want to be a demonologist. That's something you don't want to do, you know, but it was like I was called. You know, our team has been called into this type of ministry, and it's a ministry people don't understand. Like, we get ridiculed from friends, you know, people who don't understand what it is that we do. I've went under fire here recently.
Yeah, witnessing wit.
I know, right? I've been called so much. And I'm like, why is it all targeted toward me? I'm not the only one that's in the team, but I'm the one that you choose to attack.
Well,
you're the one that does the deliverances. That's why you're targeted.
Well,
the enemy comes in many forms.
I have a whole new perspective on this. I don't care anymore. You know, I don't have to defend my calling. It was entrusted in me, and I'm not going to defend it. It's who I am. It's what I am, and there's no going back.
Well, it boils down to people being misinformed or believing something that, you know, they should be a little more open-minded about, just like the paranormal. You have to be open-minded to be a criminal investigator, so why aren't you open-minded to other options, too?
Right.
I'll tell you, I grew up in the United Pentecostal Church, and any talk of the paranormal was absolutely forbidden. They acted like it was just going to take over us if we spoke about it. And us growing up in a house that was haunted, that left us in a situation where we couldn't talk about that to our friends. So, you know, growing up, I knew better than to talk about it, but I still have family that judge me real hardly.
You know, demons are a part of paranormal.
They are.
Part.
The same church didn't mind casting demons out of people, though. That was the funny part.
Exactly.
They would, because you tell them Pentecostals, there's a demon to cast out of somebody, and they start lining up with the boxing gloves.
Exactly. Coming out of the woodwork. Yeah, let's get this done.
You know, years ago, I was asked to leave a church because of being a paranormal investigator. And the same minister that asked me to leave went out and tried to drive demons out of somebody's house. He said they had to open the window so they'd have an exit to leave.
What?
Now, what's the difference in what he did and what I do? Nothing.
Nothing. Except not he wanted to judge you.
Yeah.
We were actually in the praise team in a we were asked to leave the church. We had to make a choice. And the choice was shut down your page, get completely out of it, or leave. Well, you know, I started thinking about that and I thought, you know, maybe it's time just to quit. So I slowly began to take people off our pages, shutting down pages. That's why the Paranormal Fox only has 300 and something members in it. It's because I shut the page down. I removed everybody on the page and stripped it down to absolutely nothing. And I thought I was doing the right thing because I wanted to be accepted in the church. I wanted to be able to play and sing my music. I wanted to be able to do these things. I wanted to be able to worship God in my own way and just do my little thing. And actually, we told the pastor, okay, we've got some events coming up that we're scheduled to. I said, I asked that you please give us till the end of October to complete our obligations. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Well, we did a live stream, and then the next day, the pastor called and basically said, get your SHIT and get, said the word, said, get your stuff out. I want everything you have here out. And I was like, okay. It hurt in a way, but then I really started thinking about why should I apologize for who I am to people who don't understand exactly what I do? So, you know, I can live my normal life. I can be a demonologist, a paranormal investigator, and I can go to church on Sunday if I want to.
You know, it's always bothered me when Christians talk about being interested in the paranormal, being like we're demon worshipers, because they forget Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Well, nothing's creepier than some of the things we deal with.
That's the truth.
Right.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, a lot of it is misinformation that's been put out there by different individuals over a long period of time. And people are, you know, their brains aren't programmed to shift gears like, you know, you should be able to do and understand what you're experiencing. Now, as a paranormal investigator, you go in. You go in to prove or disprove a haunting, to help, you know, your individual clients deal with whatever they're dealing with. And if you can alleviate it, you alleviate it, you know, but a lot of times you can't. So you need to work with these people so they understand how to live their normal life with this activity going on in their home or wherever. And you just don't go in and do an investigation and leave and say, we'll see you later. You know, it's if you need us, call.
The first thing that they want to throw up at you is your necromancy.
Yes.
That's a sin. The Bible speaks about it. No, no. That's not what we do. We're not going in and raising people from the dead. We're not bringing their spirit back. We're dealing with the spirits that are there already.
Always. No,
yeah, exactly. We don't go in and, you know, sit around a table and say, Benjamin Franklin, we call you from the grave.
Never.
We don't do that.
There's, you know, we just don't do that.
But they get this idea from watching garbage on. They get it from watching garbage on TV. Like people
garbage on TV and ignorant people that's in the media giving misinformation that have no business opening their mouths.
Exactly.
We can say this about any topic, because no matter what topic we're discussing, there's going to be someone who has an opinion on it that's not grounded in fact.
It comes down to jealousy.
Sometimes.
It comes down to hate.
Big part of it's jealousy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I've been that jealous person before. You know, hey, God, they were on TV. I know them. How did they get on TV? I've been on TV. I mean, I get it. It's jealousy is a human emotion. As human beings, we possess all the emotions that come along with being human. Don't be envious because of my successes. You know, I don't want it to be that way. I was so happy when the show came out. I was ecstatic. I was, look at this. We're on a team, Michael. Look at this. I'm so proud of us. We did something good. We did something, you know, it probably might. There's a couple of things that may come through or may not. I'm not going to be disappointed either way. But I was proud. And then it seemed like people to share this with, you know, hey, where's that TV show? I tell all of a sudden I'm blocked on Facebook. I'm being talked about. I'm being ridiculed. And I'm thinking, what did I do?
You did something they weren't capable of doing, and it triggered the green-eyed monster.
Right.
Jealousy.
Well, I'm so over that. I'm so over that. People who I thought were my friends and loved actually turned their back. And to me, that's demonic. That's a demonic spirit.
It's a spiritual attack.
Exactly. Exactly. I know Kobe's heard the talk. Somebody come to his house. What? Somebody asked you if you were a devil worshiper?
They did. Yes, I lost you there for a minute. You cut out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my internet's bad. It cuts in and out sometimes. But, I mean, when they go to your house and they're like, are you a devil worshiper? I mean, how did that make you feel, Kobe?
I stood there and looked at them, and I told them, I said, no, this is a ministry. I was called to do it. I'm put here to help people.
Right.
And their exact words to me was, well, I was just checking because that's the talk. That's what I'm hearing from other people.
Well, that's the thing about God.
I'm not in this because, you know, I'm a devil worshiper. I'm in it because, you know, I believe in it and I know it's real and God put me here to help people.
Exactly. Now, realistically speaking, could any of us ever see Kobe actually being a devil worshiper, like a Satanist?
Oh, no.
No.
That's the first thing from Kobe Daniel. So for somebody to even ask that, that's just rooted in ignorance.
It is.
For real. And, you know, because every member of our team, I had somebody call me not long ago, and she was like, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to step right back in Fox Paranormal. I'd like to pick up where I left off. I want to investigate again. The first thing I said is this. I don't know if you would be willing to take to do what's required of one of our investigators. And she was like, well, what is that? And I said, you have to attend church. You got to go to church with me. And she said, why would I need to do that? And I said, because I want to make sure my whole team is on the same spiritual level that I'm on. We're a different paranormal team. We're set apart, and I want to be different.
Well, we're not ghost hunters.
No.
I don't think that is a TV show, but we're not ghost hunters. And by that, I mean, like, we're not in this for thrill-seeking purposes.
No.
We're literally all involved in this for... because we're called to do it. We're called to help people feel safe in their homes.
Right. Exactly. It is a calling. It is a calling. Matter of fact, it's our ministry. Our pastor has been out with us on paranormal. He doesn't like the investigating. But there are times that a homeowner prefers a minister who pastors a church to come out and pray over their home. Well, in those cases, we get our pastor, we take him to the residence, and he prays over their home. So our pastor backs us up. Our church people back us up 100%.
No.
So, you know, and that's all that matters to me. That's all that matters. Me, because these same people that are ridiculing right now are the same people back in December that were telling me we have something going on in our house and we need you to come care of it.
That's hilarious.
We need pastor to come and pray over our home. The same people.
Exactly.
But wait a minute. But we're the same people now that we were then. What's changed?
Success. They see something that you've done that they believe was a sign of success, and the jealousy kicked in.
Right. You know, well,
it comes down to the jealousy thing, and it's this paradrama that we always
have
to.
About the same, but this is good. This is good. People need this.
The paradrama is ridiculous.
You know, drama.
People ask us, you know, why do you have so many followers? Why are you getting caught? It's because we keep it real. We don't blow smoke up their butts. We tell them what it is. And that, you know, that's the bottom line. Producers will call us because we don't blow smoke. They like that. They want the real thing.
And that's what we give. We're not in it for entertainment purposes.
No.
I mean, that's not who Fox Paranormal is.
The viewers of these shows that they're producing are watching that because they want to see a real experience. They don't want to see somebody run from their own shadow. It's funny the first time, but after you've already seen people run from it or somebody get locked in the room with what's supposed to be dark and creepy, because there's a certain host that does that to a member of his team on every investigation. But we're going to lock Aaron in there. Well, that's not fair. Why don't you ever take a turn in the dark box?
True.
You know, I have learned a lot. I don't watch a lot of paranormal shows. I've only watched season of a paranormal show, and that was Ghost of Morgan City, maybe Ghost of Shepherd's Town too. I can't remember, but it takes a show to catch my attention. You know, knowing someone who was in the show and knowing that their credibility in the paranormal community is good, they have a good rapport. Everybody so did. I respected them. I recorded the whole season, but it was weeks later before I watched it. And I almost binged the whole season. But sometimes those shows can be educational tools.
Yeah.
Because I can look at some things and say, okay, well, you shouldn't have done that because now look what's happening. And
that's,
you know,
what I was about to say.
I am more prone to go into an investigation now and not try that method because it didn't go good for that team on TV. It might not work that well for me either. Well, so, you know, we're pretty good at tools too.
When we're watching that show and they do the dumb thing and then you hear later, well, you know, they got possessed while they were on that. You're like, well, I don't know why. I can't imagine why. Maybe it's because they go, hey, yo, demons, it's me, your boy. You know what I mean?
Introducing, like, hey, let's get friendly here. Let's be buddies.
Yeah, they're toying with them, messing with them.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Sometimes taunting them.
Yes, you don't tone them. You don't play with them.
I hope Youngblood's, because he can tell this story much better than me. But he got in that phase of wanting to provoke on investigations. I am not for provoking on an investigation unless I'm trying to pull out an evil entity, make him come forth, you know, so we can cast him out, do a deliverance. But as far as human spirits, I don't like provoking because they're stuck. You know, they're stuck there. They can't do anything about it, or maybe they don't know how to do anything about it. So we're on this particular investigation, and I'm sure he won't mind me talking about this. His dad is an investigator with us too. But Youngblood goes into the closet in this palm reader's house. Paranormal activity already happening there in the palm reader's house. He goes in the closet and he's sitting in the closet. And I mean, he is provoking his little heart out. And I'm just sitting back in another room watching the monitor and just saying, oh Lord, here we go. But it was something I knew that he had to get out of his system. And I knew sooner or later he was going to learn the hard way about this. So watching the monitor, here comes Youngblood flying out of the closet. I mean, just scrambling to get out of there. He actually had gotten slapped by a spirit in that closet. He had a big handprint, a very large handprint, blood red on the side of his face.
It makes you wonder what he said to it.
Well, he'll remember what he was saying, I'm sure. And when his work schedule levels out, he's going to be co-hosting with us as well, or making a few appearances on the show with us. But he learned real quick, okay, there are boundaries you don't need to cross. And he found that out that night. And poor his daddy, you know how daddies are about their children, regardless how old they are. Here goes Big Ronnie in that closet. You want to mess with somebody? Mess with me. Okay. That could have turned out bad too.
Oh yeah.
Real bad.
Real bad, because he's challenging that spirit. So, you know, we've learned through the years, you know, the do's and don'ts. And watching the paranormal TV shows, you see what happens when they start provoking the spirits. It's not a good outcome, and it's not a good thing to do, in my opinion. And I'm just Destiny Fox. If anybody's listening that has a different opinion, please know I respect it. It doesn't work for me. I hope it works better for you. It just doesn't work out for us too good.
I want to mention real quick that I am in the chat room on Spotify. If anybody wants to join the chat room and have any questions for us, I'm watching the screen, and I'll be more than glad to try to answer anything that pops up.
Pretty awesome. We can take live questions.
Exactly. I love, you know, questions.
We're talking about watching the paranormal shows. Some of these shows that the people don't have such great reputations, I watch with my daughters just to show them what not to do. I use it as a learning tool with them because my daughters are on my team. And so I go, what did he do wrong here? What did you guys see that was wrong? Because I want them to know this is a misstep. This is a dangerous thing he just did, and it can get him hurt, injured, possessed. We don't do this.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. And what, you know, a lot of people need to understand is when you paranormal investigation, spirits can tell if you're real or not. And that, you know, can affect the quality of evidence that you get. So you want to keep it real. You want to keep it down to earth. And you need to understand and identify what you're trying to communicate with, whether it's a human entity or a demonic spirit. Once you make that determination, then you need to take the appropriate action one way or the other.
There's a lot of things that people see on television in these paranormal shows that they think are like typical operating procedure when an investigation happens. And you'll get that client every once in a while that is really into the paranormal shows. And they believe that we're supposed to be able to come in there and basically they rate us like we're the Orkin man. We're supposed to come in there and get rid of their past. But it doesn't always work that way.
No. We've got a lot of clients that watch paranormal shows. And, you know, I ask them up front if they do this, you know, and a lot of times they'll be honest with me. And they say, yeah, we do watch a lot of these shows, you know. And they're trying to mimic. They start doing things in their home that they probably shouldn't be doing. But, you know, their curiosity has gotten them and they're trying to communicate with something that's there. And a lot of times when you try to communicate in that way, you're actually bringing more in.
You get the client that you tell them you need to stop taking the videos and you need to stop taking the pictures. So they decide that they're going to go out and buy a millimeter and a Ouija board instead.
Yeah. I mean,
and you're like, that's not what I meant by stop.
Yeah. Well, it's taken us years, you know, to get to where we are in the paranormal field. A lot of, you know, learning over the years. We're still learning. We learn every day.
Right. But
we have gotten to a point where, you know, we can fairly accurately determine whether it's a human or a demonic spirit. If it's demonic, of course we need to address that. Because, you know, demonics, they're only there for one reason. They're wanting to possess or take over an individual in that home.
Right.
Because that's what their goal is. That's what their focus is. So, you know, we have to go in and we try to stop that. Now, for some people that say, you know, possession is very rare, you know, we were talking about the Bible and stuff a while ago. Possession was mentioned in the Bible over 2,000 years ago. So it's been going on, you know, documented for over 2,000 years now. So that's not pretty rare. That's pretty common when you start thinking about it.
The demons were cast out into the swine and the swine ran to their death.
Yeah. So, you know, to say a statement that it's rare is an inaccurate statement. I'm sorry. You know, if you disagree with me, that's fine. You know, you have that right to disagree with me.
I think when people say that it's rare,
it's not an accurate statement.
I think when people say it's rare, that's a misnomer. It's not as commonplace as somebody having a human spirit in their home.
No.
But it's not rare. It happens a lot, which means that we're not getting called out as often as it's happening to people because they don't have a clue what's happening to them.
Well, yeah, a demonic doesn't want us to be called out because they know what the ultimate income, you know, is going to be when we get there. We're able to identify this demonic and address it appropriately. It knows, you know, its days are numbered.
They don't want to be sent to the foot of the cross for judgment.
No. And that's another thing. Anybody that actually knows anything about exorcism or deliverance should know that you can't just cast out a demonic spirit. It has to be sent somewhere. It has to be sent to the foot of the cross. It has to be sent. You can't just cast it out. If you throw it out of the house, it's going to come right back in.
Right.
That's just their nature. That's what they do. And they are a spirit. They're just a spirit that's never lived. Where a human haunting is a spirit that lived and had to cross over And now it's probably more than likely when they're haunting a home, some of them don't even know they're ghosts and some of them don't understand why they're there. So, you know, they welcome the help from a experienced paranormal investigator to help them move on or help them understand what's going on with them too.
You know, I make this reference quite a bit. Have you guys ever seen the movie with Nicole Kidman called The Others?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes, like before we get there, if they're viewing the family, if the ghosts actually think they have a haunting.
Yeah. Well, I know this firsthand because I had a friend of mine years ago that I think I've mentioned this before. He actually documented this, and he had this experience during an investigation where he was going through this old abandoned house, and he walked into the kitchen area, and the exact second he walked into the kitchen area, there was two elderly people sitting at the table eating breakfast, I guess, or eating a brunch. They saw him, they screamed, he saw them, he screamed, he went running out of the room. When he went back in, there was nothing there. And he believed that they viewed him as a ghost and he viewed them as a ghost.
Right. How crazy is that? But it's real.
Yeah, yeah, it's real. It happens. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to identify that. And again, that comes with experience and that comes with being open-minded. You have to maintain an open mind when you do a paranormal investigation.
If we all wrote down our scariest experience with the paranormal while we were investigating, we would be able to put together a best-selling book that would be scarier than anything Stephen King could dream about.
Steve had a good imagination.
A lot of those things were his nightmares.
Yes. Yeah, nightmares. You know, it has been documented, you know, where, you know, did the motel in Colorado. It is definitely haunted. And I think, you know, he based his novel on that particular, on the experiences he had in there. He was having paranormal experiences and he made it.
So I think that we just lost Michael and Destiny again.
I'm right here.
Okay. It just went real quiet for a minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're still, our internet is
haunted.
Well, it does.
So I bought a van.
Okay.
And my son's leaving to go back to Atlanta to stay with his boss because they've got a job tomorrow that's 3 hours away. So we're out there looking at the van that I bought. And the motor blew up in our vehicle that Dylan's been driving. So I was forced into buying something else so that he would have transportation. So we're looking at it and I peeled a sticker off the side of it. And I thought, well, just some kids put a little flower sticker on there. I pulled that sticker back and there's a bullet hole in the door of this van, and I'm like, oh my god, I should have looked behind it. But I mean, for what I bought it for, it's still worth the money. And then Dylan and I were just outside. If I got quiet, that's why I was out telling my son bye, because I haven't seen him since Sunday.
Well, but I know that when we start talking about certain topics, y'all's internet starts acting up real bad.
I know, it's all
disgusting, demonic.
Yeah, it's like some spirit or entity doesn't want us to communicate what we're trying to communicate to the public.
Right. Well, anyway, so I was showing Dylan the bullet hole in the side of the van, and he said, oh, Mama, he said, just as you showed me that bullet hole and opened the door, the blinker actually came on in the van. Huh. Twice.
Ooh, can we investigate the van?
We may have to. I mean, that's why it ended up in an impound to start with. So you never know.
Okay, right now I'm the only person in the chat room, which is fine. I don't know how many people have access to Spotify to get into the chat. But we'd love to answer any questions if anybody wants to join in and get into the chat room during the show. I'm there. I'm waiting. I'm going to hang out there until the end of the show. So if anybody has any questions, they can jump right on in there and ask their question, and I'll see you immediately.
Oh, and we have a topic for next week's show, and it's going to be good because I happen to own something that is a cursed object. So next week, we're going to be talking about curses and hexes.
Yes.
Curses. Kobe and I were talking about generational curses just earlier this week.
Oh, that's very real.
And we can't wait for the Paracon in Alabama. Destiny has the information on that. We're going to be there. We're going to be talking of the paranormal there. We're looking forward to seeing everybody there.
I'm really looking forward to that paranormal convention in Alabama. I think that that's going to be a really good weekend.
It's going to be fun.
Are you going, Kobe?
I am.
I'll see you there.
I'll see you there.
That wasn't creepy at all. Are we having technical difficulties again?
Yeah, we are. Yes, I think they went out.
And it was because we were talking about things that the spirit world doesn't want us to discuss.
I truly believe that.
For some reason, it's when they're in their home and things are getting discussed that the spirit world does not want them discussing. Destiny and Michael, poof.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. We're about to wrap up our hour here. You can find Fox Paranormal on Facebook. And do they have a TikTok account? I'm not sure if they do or not.
We do have a TikTok account. You can find us on Facebook at Fox Paranormal. You can also find us at, we have an advertising called Fox Advertising. Until then, next week, we'll be back again next week.
Talking about curses and hexes.
Peace and love.
I'm telling you, my internet is cursed. We just got back, guys.
We just said it. We were trying to wrap the show up because it's 9:01.
Well, all right then, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Let us know if you listen to it later. Send us a message. You can reach us on Fox Paranormal on Facebook. We also have a page called Fox Paranormal Advertising that Teresa Fikes is an administrator there now, and she's helping me, and I love her working this group with me. We also have a little group called the Paranormal Fox, and I've got it fixed so you can post there as well. Also, TikTok, check out Fox Paranormal at Fox Paranormal 22, Michael and Destiny Fox. Check out Hulu channel. The show is Repossessed, and it is a hit show, and Michael and I are proud to be a part of that. Make sure you watch episode 2.
Yeah, we're featured in all of episode 2 on Repossessed. It was an awesome experience. We enjoyed it. Like I said, we're looking forward to the Paracon in Alabama, getting to see all our friends again. I always enjoy seeing Stan and Teresa. They're our closest friends in the paranormal.
I love them so much. They are the best people.
I tell you what, Web Paranormal is just like Fox Paranormal. They're just like our brother team.
That's right. They're just like us. That's why we love them.
Yeah, so they're just like us. They are a good grassroots team.
Yes. So, guys, Kobe, till next week. Jessica, love you guys.
Love you too.
Till next week, peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.